together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Well, we're talking about self. All of us are individuals. All of us have thoughts, dreams, aspirations, life stories, expectations. And we bring all this into a marriage. How is this going to work? And how would two people who've been living largely with their own thoughts, own desires, own expectations begin to thrive in this thing called marriage? Well, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm Brad Bigney, and I've got the joy of my sweet wife, Vicky.
Hello, Thrive family.
By my side, bringing her thoughts as well, because this has been a joint thing that we've walked through together. And I am grateful that as hard as it was, we both were disappointed. We both were resistant. We both went to war with each other. But we also both surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been talking for the past few shows about what this surrender or dying to self really looks like. And I know it makes you scared. I know you probably even tense up inside when you hear that. Like, what do you mean dying
not
to
this
self?
Again, the whole dying to self thing.
So what do you think, Vicky, are the biggest struggles that keep us stuck and holding on to our lives versus surrendering to him? And what he has for us.
I mean, we've talked about it somewhat in the earlier shows, but I think we're just self-deceived that I'm okay, so God should be okay with me. I've worked really hard to get here, and I think I know best because I know me versus trusting my creator that wants to change me and grow me. And I think it's really just, once again, we've talked about it is death to self, but I like the way you use the word surrender, Brad, because that's ultimately what it is. It's a death to self, and it's a surrender to what Christ is showing us to become a better version of who we are. So I think
it really is surrendering to something better.
Right.
Even if it is painful getting there.
And I don't think we're diminishing scripture when we talk about, you know, we can't just call it dying to self and we're trying to put a positive spin on it, but it really is. It's a because the dying to self brings a surrender to Christ. And I think not only are you becoming more like Christ in your thinking, in your emotions, how you treat people, how you respond to situations around you, but I think what I love that's been true for me is you're also in the process not only becoming more like Christ, but you get to know him better. Mm. He becomes your all in all. He is your rock. He is your fortress. He is your shield. He is your protector. He is your refuge. He is your provision. And like, that's a win as we're getting to know the God. I mean, it just still amazes me that we can know and talk to the creator of the universe. And that's the God that we can know. And he's making us by his wise, sovereign, loving hand more into his likeness. And he's making us more useful for him. And I think of the passage in John 12:24, and we've talked about this a little earlier, but it's Jesus speaking, so obviously it's important. I tell you the truth, and I like that he just starts it out by that. I tell you the truth because I think he knows, that doesn't sound like truth to me. So he's, before
you
he
always
even,
love it when he starts with truly, truly,
right,
or verily, verily. And as Vicky's saying, it's because he's about to say something that does not match what you would think.
And he knows we're probably not going to like it. So he goes on to say, this is the New Living, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. And I think sometimes, even just like that word alone, when we're doing everything our own way and we're the little vine running around apart, we're the branch running around apart from the vine, you do feel lonely because it's your way. And it usually isn't going well because it's all about you.
Yeah.
So it remains alone, but its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. And the ESV says, if it dies, it bears much fruit.
Yeah.
And I think both of us have found that to be true.
Yeah.
That not only in our marriage, but I think in our parenting, we've become different people. We became different parents as we had, you know, Adam more children.
Yeah, the same thing is absolutely true. As you head into that, whoo, that journey of parenting, one of the biggest struggles is that you're holding on to your own life as a parent.
Yeah.
And it's when you just, you're trying to figure out, how do I do parenting without really dying to self? And you really don't.
When you're up at 3 a.m, I just remember one of my grandchildren just got, you know, the throw up virus. And they're like, do you remember this? I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember.
We had 5 kids. Yes. Do we remember that?
And now one thing we did do to stop the plague, let me just tell you, if you have children, I mean, it was like in the Bible, unclean, unclean. If you have, if you're throwing up or you have a fever, I mean, they're probably going to have to be in counseling one day. But we
unclean,
would put you, we would put you in your room, and none
you
of
would
our
be isolated.
Yeah, none of our rooms had TVs in them, so you're just in there with a book and maybe some color crayons. But, you know, we would slide your food under the door. But I mean, we separated you, so you could
not. You're pretty big on, let's make sure this doesn't rip through the whole family.
Right, and I remember one time, Garrett, he had bunk beds, and he just kept throwing up, and our bedroom was across the hall. I'd have to run, and we had this big yellow bucket. And we still have it.
Big yellow bowl.
Bowl, yeah. A Tupperware bowl that I got at a shower when we first got married. Yeah. At a Tupperware shower. And I still have it. So this is, what, 38 years old?
It's just always the throw-up
probably has
bowl.
BPA, all those bad things that give us cancer.
Did
now.
Did you also do salads and things in that?
Oh, yeah. We still use it.
Ugh,
yeah. In fact, my kids said the other
day.
Do we
have that?
Yeah, we still have it. If you ever come to our house, we will show you the yellow bowl.
Imagine the stomach acid that is in the line.
We always use put it in the dishwasher.
Bowl.
Okay, okay. But we also had a blue bowl. So we have, because we have 5 kids, so there's lots of people. We have lots of bowls. So we had a blue and a yellow. And one of the kids actually brought that up the other day, like, just kind of disturbs me that this blue bowl that we all threw up in is now having a salad for our lunch, you know.
A spinach strawberry pecan salad.
Yeah, but it's really good if you ever wanted a recipe. But how did we get off on this?
What is our point? Parenting involved dying to self.
Yes, and I just remember, you know, finally I just decided he is throwing up so many times, and by then it was just dry heaves. I just laid my, but I didn't want to get this because I'm, if the mom goes down, everyone goes down. I would put my head at one end of the bed, his with the other, and we would, you know, 3 or 4 times a night, we'd have to get up. But anyway, it changes your parenting, you know, because you're dying to self as you're laying there on the bed helping someone throw up, and it's not my full night's sleep I wanted and think I deserve.
And notice, make a connection here, because the things that God wants to teach us are never just like, well, that's hardly in the Bible. If you start paying attention, you'll see it's actually running through the Bible on multiple levels.
Yes.
We've been talking for several shows about dying to self in marriage, but some of the best things he gives us, marriage, if you want it to thrive, learn to die. Mm-hmm. Parenting, if you really want all the fruits and the flourishing of parenting, you got to die to self.
Right.
And even on a friendship level.
Yeah.
Real friendship is forged usually in a context of real sacrifice, that you did something together. It's not just, oh, you like that board game? I like that board game. Now we're dear friends.
Right.
Think about how you became a dear friend with someone. And often there was something hard, or there was a willingness to die for the needs of another.
Right.
And that forged a friendship. Even when we talk about band of brothers, you know, men and women who have served together through something hard in war, the closeness of relationships that we all long for, all of them to some degree are forged in this thing we're bringing you from God's word about surrender and dying to self.
That's a good point. So it's not just.
No.
And once again, there's so
it's
much.
It's not like
gain.
Every other relationship works without this concept of death to self.
That's a good point.
It's just. It's pervasive. In the scriptures. In fact, you know, the longer I read my Bible, I love to read it, and I read it all every year. And it's just exciting how he'll move me to another place that just resonates for a decade or so. And for about a decade now, my heart has just been resonating with 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, that I think captures so well, what is the Christian life all about? And it says this, for the love of Christ controls us. Well, apart from Christ, before you come to know him, what love controls you? Love of me.
Right.
Me. I love me.
I love myself.
For the love of Christ controls us. Because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all. Notice even, it was his death, you guys, that gave us the kind of life we can experience now.
Right. He was our example.
That's right.
So whenever we think this is too hard, we can think, and on so many levels, this is true. Christ modeled it for us.
That's right.
Before he's asking us to do
it. He's not asking us to do anything that he did not do himself for us. His death, his surrender to something horrific led to, and even for him, you might say, but did he have any joy? I love that verse in Hebrews that says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He didn't love that agony, you guys, but he loved the fruit that would be born from that. The joy that was set before him was that he knew that there would be a people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation that could be forgiven, that could be children of God, that could be adopted sons and daughters with a robe of righteousness. But what was required to bring about that fruitfulness was him dying. And so now he calls us and says he died for all, that those who live, those who are alive spiritually now, that's us as Christians, might no longer live for themselves, but for him. Hmm. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about this dying that leads to life and flourishing and thriving like you never thought possible, not just in marriage, but in every earthly relationship. Surrender and death leads to flourish and fruit and life.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment. Look, I don't know how this series that Brad and Vicki have been doing the last few weeks on dying to self has been hitting you, but every week I hear something that these two say, and it's like, man, it makes sense. As simple as Brad saying, you want your parenting to thrive, then learn to die. Simple statement. Most of us would affirm it, right? But sometimes it can take somebody saying something so simple for it to become so clear. And that right there is just one of those lines that sits with you. Because if you ever sat up all night with a sick kid, had a blow up with your spouse, and then you realized, yeah, I'm the problem, then you've been here. You know exactly what they're talking about. You've tasted what dying to self feels like. You may just not have called it that. And I think that's why Thrive is helping so many people. This idea of what God calls death, the world calls failure, but it's actually what brings life. Brad and Vicki Bigney and Thrive, remarkable, and it is so helpful. That's why we do it. We want to help you reframe the hard stuff in your marriage and in your parenting. If Thrive has done that for you, then we want to ask you something else. I want to ask you to consider standing with us. We've been doing this for over 25 years. What began as Wretched Radio then started evolving, not in a weird way, but you know what I mean, in the actual sense of the word, into Gospel Partners Media, and now into Fortis Institute. Through all of those changes, our mission has never changed. We're still doing everything we can to strengthen the local church and strengthen the families that make up that church. And we do it now as Fortis Institute, absolutely free of charge. Every episode of Thrive, every resource on Fortis Plus, every tool that gets dropped daily, it's all because of people like you who say, you know what, this matters and it should be in the hands of as many people as possible. And that takes the support of our gospel partners. And that's why I want to ask you to pray about joining us and becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. But only if you're already giving to your local church, because that comes first. If you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you have some margin where you say, you know what, I can stand with these guys at Fortis. I love what they're doing and I want to be a part of it. Then we want to ask you to pray about it. You can find out more information right now about what it would look like in your life at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Brad and Vicki. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and we're talking about surrender, denial of self, death to self. These are all terms that you find in the scripture. Mm-hmm. But oh, don't think a dark, gloomy, diminished version of you. This is actually the doorway to flourishing and life and joy and peace like you never thought possible. But you have to be willing to consider our thoughts are not his thoughts. Right. Our ways are not his ways. The world's, what the world is usually just chanting and shouting relentlessly rarely matches what the Bible says. And that's why people are so miserable out there. They're unhappy because they're not doing what God says. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. For the love of Christ controls us because we've concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all died, and he died for all. Talking about Jesus, that those who live. He's not talking you have a pulse, you're breathing, you were born. He's talking about those who are spiritually alive now, have been born again, might no longer live for themselves, but for him. Our hardwiring is sinners as to live for ourselves. And he's like, now, you could live for him and live for others. The problem is we still have that internal hardwiring and right. the flesh to contend with. But what the Bible actually teaches is you're no longer a slave to self. You're no longer a slave to that hardwiring. You have a new option. You could listen to him. You could believe him.
That's right.
And you could say, you know what? I'm going to do what he says to do. Because here's what we're up against. I hope you realize all of us from birth, when we talk about sin, if you want to know what really is the essence of sin, the DNA of sin is the worship of self. And if all our sins have been, you might be thinking, but if all our sins have been forgiven, why do I still battle this? Why do I still hear this internal cry? Well, it no longer owns us, but it has not been eradicated. Until he returns or you die, there'll still be this internal battle of self, the worship of self, the promotion of self. All of us still wake up and have to deal with the temptation of giving in to just living for self. As long as sin still lives inside of us, there'll be the problem of self. In other words, the worship of God collides with the worship of self. And so every day, and so think in terms of this. Sometimes when we use the word worship, you think, oh, that's singing songs on Sunday. No, we worship all the time. It's what you make much of.
That's right.
It's what you prize and treasure and value. And so it really comes down to worship of self versus worshiping God and saying, I want to live for you, God, and I want to do what you say in every area of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Brad, because it's and it's just really shocking to me that once again we kind of see the end game of Jesus isn't doing just this pruning and this surrender for no reason.
Yeah.
He's purifying us, changing us more into his likeness as we surrender and say yes, so that he can use us to point others to him.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be walking around in this world with the hands and feet of Jesus, which in my mind thinks, I just think, wow, what a sad thing he chose us to represent
yeah,
him.
But
I mean, it's kind of frightening, it's shocking to me.
And so marriage itself is not the end game.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to get a hold of is he often, well, I think I could drop the word often, he always wants to use marriage as a greenhouse, as a place where mm-hmm. he prunes and shapes and grows.
Because it's one of our closest relationships.
That's right.
You know?
But the end game is that outside of the home,
right.
in the marketplace, in the workplace, in the gym, on that street where you live, it's a different version of you
mm-hmm.
and the way you're relating to other human beings pervasively and in all
right.
over the place, not just marriage.
And I'm thinking, you know, because for the first time, perhaps, I think in some ways, for the first time in my life, I begin to start thinking of someone besides me.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. naturally, you would just think, well, that's no fun. But instead, yeah. I think it just brought such joy. And just to know, as I'm moving around in just my normal everyday life, whether it's talking to a neighbor at the mailbox or, you know, someone calls me that I knew in college and we have a talk on the phone, or as I'm at Walmart and as I'm in the checkout line talking to the cashier, you know, showing interest in them, it just brings such joy because,
yeah.
you know, I think that God and his sovereignty orders our steps. And so every day is a new adventure. It's like, wow, who am I going to see today that I can
yeah.
point the point to Christ or just show kindness. Once again, I know I say this, but it just really is a big thing of mine. Just we live in a dark, broken, hard world. And I just think as the world gets darker, Christ looks more beautiful because he's truth and he's pure and he's holy and he offers a way of escape out of this world. You know, before we didn't have hope and now we have hope. Yeah. And that is just such a beautiful testimony. And it's a truth that we can now as believers share with those we come into contact with. So I think it's not just a dying to self or a surrender, but as we become more like Christ, we become more useful to him in our marriage, in our home, in our relationships.
Because it's counterintuitive, but the person who is most focused on self, most thinking about themselves, most internally turning inward, is actually one of the most unhappy
people.
It's
a very sad life.
And when he begins to do this work in you to where you have an outward focus, where you begin to notice people and you're thinking about how, believe it or not, your flesh would tell you that's not true. You will become so happy.
Yeah.
It is such a joyful way to live.
I remember even, and I've even seen secular studies on this as far as people that if they're depressed, I remember there was a doctor friend of ours and he just said he counseled a lot of women that were, you know, very wealthy. Mm-hmm. And he said one of the first things he would assign to them as part of their counseling was, you need to go into the inner city and start volunteering.
Got a soup kitchen.
Yeah, or working with, you know, battered women or something. So I just think, wow, because he said it always just made them more grateful for what they had. And, you know, just you see, when you serve others, it's just going to bring joy. It really is. And because you're not thinking so much about yourself and you think I can be the hands and feet of Christ, that's a great purpose. Mm-hmm. And to try to show his light to people.
Because really, what we're talking about, you can't even begin to get on this path prior to salvation. Prior to new birth in Christ, you're locked in darkness. You're locked into self and flesh. You're just in love with you. Only the Christian is truly free to serve someone else. Doesn't mean you'll do it automatically. That's why he gives us marriage and parenting.
Right. It kind of forces you to. Yeah. I mean, really, you can be selfish.
Yeah. You can endlessly. Some of you, I'm not trying to pick on you, but some of you, if you were honest, you've resisted a long time. And you've just dug in your heels and like, no. And I want to ask you, are you happy? But you're so afraid of what you think would happen if you surrendered. Only the Christian is truly free to serve someone else. And only the Christian has been set loose from this obsessive compulsion to look out for number one at all times. But, oh, there's always the danger that those old habit patterns will creep in and that this... or that we'll use this new freedom simply to serve ourselves. To one degree or another, we're all self-serving and marriage like nothing else. I had no idea how selfish I was and self-focused
I
was
Me too.
Prior to marriage. I had a little bit of roommate conflict in college, but not anything. And even then, I just pushed it in the category of, oh, well, I wonder what's wrong with him. But marriage, you just can't get away with that. It exposes selfishness like no other context. And so... marriage can become a battleground when two people enter expecting to be served. And as you dig in your heels, nobody gets served. Everybody's frustrated. Nobody has joy. And here's what I think is interesting. The passages that we go to most often, I think we would benefit more if you backed it up. I know I've said this before and a long time ago in the early shows, but I want to say it again. Whatever passage you're looking at in God's word, back it up and stretch it out. Look at what was being said leading up to it and look what keeps being said. And so that go-to marriage passage that we have in Matthew in Ephesians 5, that so often we think, yeah, husbands, love your wives, wives, respect and submit. Whoo, don't start in verse 22 with that. Back it up to verse 18, where it says, and don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Spirit. A number of times I appreciate Vicky has mentioned the Spirit. And I hope you know there's different versions of Christianity and churches you could choose. We're not that wild group, Vicky nor I, that carries on with wild. When you hear Holy Spirit, I hope you don't think excess. I hope you think, oh, thank you, Lord, you gave me your Holy Spirit. I could not do life without the Holy Spirit, and we could not do the kind of marriage we're doing right now, or parenting, or friendship, without the Holy Spirit. And so it basically just means, to touch on something Vicky mentioned, where he must increase, I must decrease. That's John 3:30. This is the same thing. It needs to be more Holy Spirit controlling me and leading me, mm-hmm. and less of Brad Bigney scripting and going after what I think. We're talking about, how would you get to your marriage to begin to thrive, flourish in ways that you've wanted but haven't known how? What would the first step be? Could it be that you've been holding on to your life, gripping it, white-knuckling it, refusing to die?
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.